This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, number 855-752-4842. Lupinacci, we got a text from him on you saying he's going to be here. He was being held up by his department chair, blaming it on the boss, always blaming it upwards on authority, not, you know, but when he comes in, we'll welcome him, I guess.
Have we ever had to mark somebody tardy on this show before or absent even? My gosh.
We should, because, you know, you accumulate three of those, and I think that requires some form of a detention because, hey, it is.
We'll hold Johnny over and he can do the set. He'll have to do a show on Saturday instead.
Yeah. You know what? That's it. You know, Saturday detention would be like a whole new rendition of that 1983-84 movie, The Breakfast Club. It's Johnny Lupinacci on Saturday detention doing Busted Pencils. Wow. Fully leaded education talk. Great. Everybody's here on a Tuesday night. It is the traditional night, but, you know, make sure you remember Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It is Busted Pencils all the time, all week long. Great show last night on you, Matt Damon's mom. And I love that you put out there, too, was not an April Fool's Day. It really was her, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Yeah, Matt Damon has a real mom, and that real mom is Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. And every first Monday of the month now, she is going to be joining us on Busted Pencils to let us know what she thinks about things, not what Matt thinks, because we don't really care what Matt thinks. He's just a really good actor. Right? So, Busted Pencils, Anya, we have been having multiple shows. And as you know, Anya, you've been part of this conversation. There's something called a teacher shortage right now in America. You know, there's a thing, and people have listened to me would go, Tim, you don't like to call it a shortage. I won't. I know, but, you know, make the politically correct term, but let's be realistic. It's a teacher exodus, the idea. I like making sure that people understand, because a shortage would implicate some kind of little bit of a labor issue, you know, and the reality is here is that when we have classrooms that are open, and in a lot of places we have licensed teachers that are not going into the, you know, that are not teaching, we've got something out there systematic or systemic that could be the problem. However, tonight, and we've done a preview of this, we had a great guest from Austin Peay State University from Tennessee, the Dean Prentice Chandler, talking about grow your own programs that actually kind of address the teacher shortage. We have found another incredible program, Western Michigan University. We had Dr. Julian Vasquez-Helig, the provost, on in a past episode. He's here tonight with his Dean of the School of Education and Human Development, Laura Deinhardt. Laura, Julian, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are the both of you?
Great to be back.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Okay, so grow your own. I put this out there to promote the GYO at WMU, too many acronyms, but grow your own Western Michigan University teacher shortage. Julian, I know you said Laura's going to do most of the talking, but I'll let you come in, though. Give us a brief overview. Yeah. What is Western Michigan's involvement? Yeah. Grow your own. Give us a little bit of an explanation.
Yeah, let me just start with a little bit of context and background.
Great.
So as you know, I served as the dean of the College of Education at the University of Kentucky. Now, in that state, like many other states, they were wrestling with the fact that there was a growing teacher shortage. Now, of course, we know the teacher shortage isn't in every subject, and sometimes not even in every district, because some districts are better paying, and so they have less shortage. And there's specific places, TESOL, special ed, social studies is not a place where we have a shortage. Physics, this is a place where we have a shortage, right? And so the solution in Kentucky was, how can we do another alternative pathway? And I think they're on alternative pathway number 11 or number 12. Mm-hmm. How can we get teachers in the classroom as quickly as possible with very little training? You see, one other contextual piece. In Houston, I don't know if folks have been paying attention to what's going on in Houston, but what's happening in Houston is that the state of Texas has come in and taken over the entire district. Why? Because one high school missed its test score goal by 2 points. And so in Austin, the Republicans decided that they were going to take over the entire district in Houston. It's like the fifth or sixth largest district in the nation. Now, they brought in a superintendent from Dallas named Mike Miles, who didn't do so great in Dallas, but now they've given him another opportunity in Houston. And the challenge is that they have lots of vacancies in Houston. And at the rate that the district is going, they're going to have a lot more vacancies. What was their solution? How can we fill these positions with inexperienced educators as quickly as possible? And so that concept, whether it be in Kentucky, where they're doing alternative certification, or in Houston, where the state Republicans have taken over an entire district. Now, there's alternatives. In Michigan, we are doing things a little differently. And so
just say that, Jillian, you know, we had talked about that because, you know, you call them alternative tracks. Let's be honest. They're the, you know, as long as you're not a qualified teacher track, you know, or the anybody can breathe warm body approach. Let's get people in there, which actually does more damage in the long term. So, yeah, what's going on in Michigan?
No, and absolutely. Let me just back that up with a little bit of statistics. Linda Darling Hammond and I published a paper that compared traditionally certified teachers to alternatively certified teachers, and it also including Teacher America, actually. And that work was actually done in Houston, and it's one of the most cited papers I've ever written. It's been cited thousands and thousands of times, and that paper essentially found, as you might expect, experienced teachers, the students of experienced teachers, do better than TFA typically and do better than alt certification a majority of the time. And so, and that's using, you know, hierarchical linear models and all that kind of stuff to study that properly. Now, quickly, I'll segue in Michigan and then I'll turn it over to the dean to fill in some of this background. Now, in the spring, some folks from the College of Education Human Development and said, look, there's this opportunity from the state. And this opportunity involves the state paying for districts and giving them grants so that folks who in that district, who work in that district, who are committed to that community, who live in that community, we know from the research, they're more likely to stay in education and stay in that district, that they will pay for their undergraduate degree or their master's degree if they go into teaching in that district. And so the states choose partners. And 25% of the districts in our state chose Western. Now, let me tell you, there's 15 public universities in Michigan. They could have chosen any of them, but 25% of the districts chose us. And so what this tells me is that people are interested in teaching. They are interested in being in the classroom.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the, you know, as we talk about this, the interest, you know, my fear early on was is that nobody wants to be a teacher. But what we're seeing in places where they're doing it right, like you said, Jillian, potentially saying or particularly going into those areas and saying, hey, are there people within, you know, who already work in the district, who already live in the areas, they want to be the teachers, they just don't have the opportunity and the access. Laura, the dean of the college, give us a little bit more on the specifics in how the College of Education at Western Michigan is working around the introduction that Jillian just provided us.
Yeah, I think partnerships with districts also really matters, right? So really working closely with districts. I love the fact that actually the districts are the ones getting the funding so that they can really identify individuals in their communities that are really interested in it. And we can work on the undergraduate side, but we also can work on the graduate side. So we have some teachers who really want to become special education teachers, as an example, but they already have a certification. So this allows them an opportunity to have a different certification and potentially serve a different population of students. But then we have individuals that are paraprofessionals that might be working in the schools. They may be parents who are interested in being parapros. We have lots of opportunities for individuals to then say, well, I'm already in a classroom. I'm already working with students. now I want to get my degree. There are lots of reasons why individuals may not have opted to get their degree in the first place. Right. This gives them the opportunity to do it while they're working and getting those experiences.
And so this is the part too, where you say GYO, the acronym, it's grow your own, in recognizing this. So there's a recruitment strategy right in there, which is saying, you know, and we've talked about it. It's like, where are our future teachers? Well, they might be already just sitting out in front of us, you know, they're potential high school students. They're paraprofessionals. They're people who live already in their surrounding school districts that might want to change their careers and become a teacher. They're already there. That's the concept of grow your own. And so, Laura, you made a point, though, too, to say the districts get the funding, because I think this is another question that people say, but how? I know somebody who lives in my district that wants to be a teacher. They don't have the ability because they don't have the money. And I think Julian touched on that, but talk about how that person who says, I really do want to be a teacher. I really do want to help my district. I just don't have the money. How's the money work here?
Yeah. So the districts receive that funding and they are paying for individuals to go to the university. And I think when we think about how students think about going to college, and particularly individuals who maybe have not opted to go to college on the front end, they're thinking, how am I going to pay for this? I mean, universities, right. College costs money. Right. So the districts ultimately are covering the cost. So students register for classes, and that money then funds their tuition through the university. It's an easy process. I mean, the state has really made it so that it's not complicated, and individuals can fully access that funding.
Julian, is this too the emphasis here when you put the Western Michigan or Michigan particularly as a state versus Kentucky versus, you know, states like Ohio, other states that are trying to say, hey, there are alt paths. The decision here to put funding in place for districts, that and then the insistence that they get their license through traditional, one sense, traditional teacher education. We'll talk a little bit how you guys have potentially pivoted and created some access and some modality changes. But the insistence, as you said, Jillian, on teacher education at the university level being the pathway that Michigan has decided. Yeah. 15, 20 seconds, quick there, you know, quickly, Jillian.
Two quick points in 20 seconds. One, access. Now, Ann Arbor Public Schools is partnering with us and not the University of Michigan. Because Western Michigan is a place where we can take every talented student. Michigan State and Michigan can't do that. So that makes us, I think, a really, really great partner, is we can admit every talented student into our teacher ed programs.
It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded. Our guests, Dr. Julian Vasquez-Helig, Dr. Laura Dinehart, Western Michigan, growing your own teachers. Yeah, more when we get back.
And her scars are how she got them. Has the telling signs of age rained down.
We're not aging that much on this show. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guests, Dr. Julian Vasquez-Helig, Dr. Laura Dinehart, Western Michigan College of Education and Human Development. Teacher shortage. Hey, maybe not in Michigan for that long. Julian, though, you're the provost of all the why Western Michigan? Is there something special happening in Western Michigan that people are making this decision?
Well, let me tell you, you know, we recently recruited Dean Dinehart. We stole her from Florida and Ron DeSantis. We're so glad that she's here. And I remember when I brought the finalists to campus and they saw our College of Education. It's right in the center of campus. It's probably the most beautiful building we have on campus, except for our student center. And I think that sent a message to everyone that was considering being dean that education is primary. Now, a lot of people don't know, in 1903, Western began as a teacher's college. And now we've evolved to a large research university. But education and the training of teachers and other educators is cherished on our campus.
Well, and so Laura, he pulled you from Florida and brought you up to Michigan. Even the weather, not a problem, or was it the big building?
It was the building. I mean, if we're going to be, okay. No, I'm kidding. I think what's so amazing about Western, and I hear this from alums, I think a lot of universities you know, they have alumni that really care about their institution, but Western is really special in that way. I mean, individuals love this campus. They love what they've learned here, especially our teachers. I can't go out to a district without someone saying, I'm an alum, or I have alum in the family. I mean, people really are connected to Western. And I think really this education piece is really, it's really big here. And Julian is not kidding when he says that. I mean, it is really cherished. And I think everybody is all in on it. So it takes a village to do the work that we're doing right now with GYO, and it's working.
Well, having that long history too, yeah, and the focus that has been there, you know, founded as a teacher preparation institution, you know, the ability, you've got the history, the cred already coming to this going. It's like, you know, if you want to be a teacher, let's try, you know, one of the places that was originally put together and institutionalized to educate teachers. So there they are. So I want to talk though about, so I'm in Michigan, and I'm listening to the show, or even any other state, and going like, I think this is awesome. I want to do it. But let's talk about who, because, you know, we need people who want to become teachers. If we talked really briefly about the potential that this could be students who are already going to who's already part of the school district, this could be paraprofessionals, this could be people who are living in the community. Let's start with the high school students. How does that work from the standpoint of saying, okay, I'm an 11th grader. I heard in Michigan that and my school district has a partnership with Western Michigan, I'm qualified. Explain that. How does that work, Laura?
Yeah, I actually think, you know, this is something right now, I think the districts are really working on identifying individuals who are already working in the district and are interested in going into the teaching profession. But as a high schooler, I think districts are starting to think about, are there any high schoolers that we could hire right out of high school in to work in our schools? And then they can and will have access to GYO funds as well. So it really is about thinking about the ability to work in a school, which basically one of the things we really, really care about is that individuals have access to a classroom, that they get to learn things through the college experience, and then they get to implement them in classrooms and they get to work with students regularly. We know internships are really, really valuable to education. Well, this is an extended internship in many ways, right? We have individuals who are going to spend a good chunk of their time learning in the university setting. We do a lot of work online for those that are, you know, in terms of Julian mentioned access, how important it is for individuals to, maybe they can't come to campus every day. Certainly if they're working, they can't come to campus every single day. So how is it that we bring the classroom to them, right? And in that way, then they get to use their classrooms with mentors and others who are really looking at their success, because, of course, the districts want these individuals to be successful, right? Long term, it means they get to keep these teachers. So they get to implement what they're learning in their classes through the university while they're working in a classroom. So it can be high schoolers, it can be paraprofessionals, it could be anyone who's really interested in going into education.
There, you hit on one of the key components there too, to give people a sense of going, okay, you Western Michigan may be a traditional teacher education preparation institution, but the modality and the pathway here in the Grow Your Own is actually quite innovative, in the sense, because Laura, you said, you know, they are an internship, an apprentice, the ability that the candidates that are going through these GYO programs are going to be working with the partner school districts full-time during the day, watching what's happening, and then classes, how do they get the coursework then that they need to get that teaching license?
They're taking online classes. The way Grow Your Own funds work, particularly at the undergraduate level, at the graduate level, we also offer things online. But typically those individuals have already gotten their degrees. At the undergraduate level, one of the things with Grow Your Own is that they have to finish and they have to use their funding in 3 years. So in some ways, we're pushing a little hard in terms of the amount of classes they have to take to get a full undergraduate degree while they're getting their, while they're able to become teachers, in order to become teachers, right? So I will say that this is, it is doable. It is also a lot of work. It's really good work. It's really practical work because, again, you're working, but individuals are really committed to ensuring that they can get through the program. We have created a lot of supports for them. We have a student success coordinator who works directly with students when they're challenged. And I have to give credit to our provost who is willing to help support and fund this effort. I mean, you know, again, like it takes a village to do this. The office is funding part of this student success coordinator. We have a GYO coordinator, individuals who really are focused on ensuring that those students are successful. And then they also have success coaches coming from their district. So it is a lot of individuals who are working together to ensure that individuals who are taking these classes while working are going to be successful in getting an undergraduate degree. This is no small thing. I mean, the celebration that will be needed is going to be huge.
Julian, go ahead.
Yeah. So I want to say two things that came to mind. I don't know if folks have been noticing, there's been some news about what your income has to be to afford the average house in your state. I don't know if you've seen this on CNN or something, but the Midwest has turned out to be one of the only affordable places to live now. Even Texas, you have to earn like $89,000 to be able to live comfortably, I was seeing on CNN today. And so the price of housing and just life in general has gone up. And so what's interesting is that, you know, for Michigan and Michigan State, a lot of the students that come to those institutions, they end up leaving Michigan. Now, what really makes Western really special, we're recruiting from all over the world. We're recruiting Colorado, Illinois. 70% of our students in general end up falling in love and staying with Michigan, staying in the Michigan and living in the state. So I think that's one special thing. One other thought here. We haven't really talked about the scale of this program, and Dean Deinhardt just gave me the numbers. This year, we have 300 students in Grow Your Own, 300. And for the undergraduate program, almost 25% of them are teachers of color.
Man, lots going on. More when we get back. Welcome back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842, Western Michigan University. The provost, Dr. Julian Vasquez-Helig, the dean for the School of Education, College of Education and Human Development, Laura Deinhardt. Grow Your Own, addressing the teacher shortage from a totally unique standpoint to say, wait a minute, we're serious. We're serious that there are people out there who really have been potentially that can step in, who want to become teachers. There's a support system in place. Laura, I wonder though, too, to just talk about one of the issues, you know, how did this affect you as a College of Education and your faculty and moving in a direction to go? Because you used the word partnership, and I was wondering if you could talk about how going into a Grow Your Own with an internship, residency, apprenticeship, how that really changes the idea of what it means to work in partnership.
I think faculty, I have to give real credit to the faculty on this. Our program has really grown. We have, and Julian, you know, mentioned this at some point, you know, we have 300 students in this program. So imagine, you know, the faculty already working with students that we have our regular programs running. And then all of a sudden this huge burst of students at the master's level, at the undergraduate level. It takes everybody's effort to understand that we're not working with traditional students, right? We tend to think of education as the 17-year-old that's graduated from high school, comes into college, they live in the dorms, they attend class from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they go and study in, you know, different locations. And that's great. Universities are important for many of those reasons. But we're talking about what we might call non-traditional students. I don't love that terminology, but these are individuals who have come to the university potentially late. They work full time. They have families. And now we're asking them to class. So what happens oftentimes is, you know, things happen in life. And so we We're offering classes online, obviously. Again, access is really important. We're trying to reach as much of the state as possible. And sometimes we have an individual who, for instance, is a bus driver, and my route is running late, and now I can't be on online at 5 p.m., right? So the faculty have really, you know, giving them full credit on the flexibility that is necessary when teaching students who have full running lives on top of trying to get a degree. It's amazing that they've done it. They recognize students. Some students haven't been in class for so long, and now they're taking a math class, right? And math is everybody's scariness, let's be honest. But yes. I haven't been in that scenario. So, you know, we really have to be flexible and work with them in ways that, you know, we're committed to. I'll put it that way.
I want to go back to that number you said, just to make it so. How long has this program been in place, and the 300 new students, how quickly did they, was this like over a 10-year period you've increased by 300 students? I mean, when?
I started in July. Okay. We now have 300 additional students. Yeah.
So with the 400 we already had, now we have 300 right. more. So Western Michigan, if we plan to finish all of these students, would be graduating 700 teachers in the next couple of years. In addition, there's a second round to this funding, so there will be additional students joining us. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a leader, this is some measured risk, right? But sometimes you do these things because it's the right thing to do. And so when we had this discussion last spring, it was before Dean Deinhart came to us from Florida in the summer, you know, the interim dean said, can we manage this? And what we said was, we, by any means necessary, we will do this in service to the state of Michigan.
Laura, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wasn't even here when this decision was made. And when I came in, I said, this is the kind of program we want to see happening. This is a commitment from the state that says we want to work with universities. Districts were asked to work with universities, not just, hey, find somebody who can. No, it was, you must be working with universities on this. So they're really committed to making sure that we're doing the best we can. And that partnership to me feels very real. And there's real dollars behind it from the state, which really makes a big difference.
Wow. And so all of that. And so 300 new students just starting in July and for a while. What an incredible increase. Wonder, though, too, when you talk about that, the effect then of truly the teacher shortage here is that if any other state or anybody's listening and going, boy, I wonder if we could make a does this change the potential, you know, quote of a teacher shortage to say, like, you guys are actually contributing to Julian, I see you nodding there.
Yeah. So I, you know, folks like to talk about this as a teacher shortage, but I actually think it's a shortage of commitment. It's a shortage of commitment on behalf of policymakers to really make a change. One of the things that they were talking about in Kentucky, for example, was that they were going to do loan forgiveness. And so a lot of their teacher shortage bills had loan forgiveness. But when the bills finally made their way to the legislature, they just ended up in another alternative pathway. Now, as a dean at the University of Kentucky, I couldn't publicly comment on this because that's how that state operates. But I could publicly comment on it now that it is a very short-sighted approach to solving a very serious issue. And I want to say that the legislators in Michigan who were prescient and who understood that if we invest in our people, that we can solve this in a couple of years. And so while other states are going to be spinning their wheels, the state of Michigan is really actually going to address the teacher shortage. And the thing, and a key thing here, is address in shortage areas, right? The areas where we really need the teachers. Because, you know, you talk to districts and they say, well, if I have a social studies opening, I'm going to get 80 applicants for that position. If I have a physics opening, I may get 3 applicants, and I'm hoping that one of them is qualified, right? And so we really are training teachers in special education and the other shortage areas.
Yeah, so there's a real targeted effort here to really say, like, what are the shortage areas? Where are they? And then putting forth that funding there to move that forward. And Julian, that's the way you said about that too, the commitment to, you know, the teacher shortage and not seeing this is going like we can solve this problem if there is an effort, if there is a commitment, if there is a will. Mm-hmm. You know, my critique on the teacher shortage is the two of that sometimes I don't think there's a real effort on a lot of places. In fact, I think the opposite effort is in place, that there's an effort to keep the shortage moving because it continues to create the narrative of failing public schools, struggling. Laura, I see you got some agreement with me there. You know, we could get a little political here. Why not, Laura?
Well, I'll say, you know, I had some amazing colleagues in Florida and even in, you know, one of the largest school districts in the country. And they really pushed, you know, at FIU where I was at, they really pushed us to think creatively about how we might do apprenticeship models. And I totally understand the need to do that. I think the challenge was that, you know, we then were asking individuals to have a job in the school, working as a teacher with no mentor necessarily. You know, there was a mentor assigned, but they certainly had their own classrooms. A lot of students were very afraid of that, right? And they were not getting the dollars that come from the state. And this is the real thing that's happening in Michigan, is that they're working, they're getting paid to be in the school, but then they're also getting their degree covered. So on top of that, they're just, it's like I can do this for real. You know, it's mm-hmm. the dream of how am I going to go to school, pay and collect all these loans that then, to Julian's point, will eventually get paid off. Maybe, you know, this is like, it's real. It's real. And you're going to make money and you're not going to have to pay for school.
Yeah. And I think there's a narrative. You think about Michelle Rhee in the early 2000s. She was on the Newsweek magazine with the ruler slapping her hand. And there's been this sort of constant attacks on teachers. And that's really affected students and their interest in becoming teachers and people becoming teachers. So not only do you have this perfect storm of what it costs to attend higher education and the different types of commitments that it takes in terms of time and time in the schools to become an educator, but by creating these financial incentives, we push through all of that. All of that noise gets pushed in the side, and here you have 300 people interested in becoming educators. So the idea that people don't want to be teachers anymore, if you put the right incentives on the table, you will be wildly surprised how much people want to be in front of children and working with communities.
And that was one of the things that I, you know, coming around this Grow Your Own, I said my first reach down into Tennessee and working with Prentice Chandler at Austin Peay, he had that comment to me. He said, Tim, you know, for the longest time, I was just thinking that nobody wanted to be teachers anymore. But, you know, given this program where it says, you know, the state stepped in, being paid while they're working, and then the tuition being covered, he said, you know, it's just there are a ton of people who didn't realize they had an opportunity. They wanted to be teachers, and it was the commitment. So what you're hearing here is in saying, guess what? There are lots of people who really want to be teachers, but the reality is, and Laura, you made this point, you know, I can't quit my job right now. I would love to go back to school and become a teacher. You know, thinking about this in traditional teacher education, I know this, Johnny would know this if we could ever find where Johnny's at right now, but you know, in the traditional pathways, even the idea of quote student teaching, which is that internship, it always came up, you know, particularly working adults, you'd say, you know, well, you have to quit your job to go out and student teach. And that was like that was it. It was the end of the road going, well, then I can't do that. Then I really wanted to be a teacher, but I can't afford to quit my job. Help understand this is different here, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And let me say this too. We know people are watching, right? People in the district are watching what's happening. Legislators are watching what's happening. I suspect the governor is watching what's happening. But not just them. I talked with Linda Darling Hammond the other day. Of course, she served as state chair board of California, LPI, Learning Policy Institute. People nationally are watching, and this is going to be studied. People are going to want to understand how do the students do? Do these teachers stay in these schools? Do they stay in the profession? And so really, this is an opportunity for us to show that when you make investments in people, when you make investments in communities, that you will be wildly surprised. I know I use that word, but that's the word of the day for me, with the results that you get. So we know that all eyes are in Michigan. As people are starting to find out about this, as we talk about this at the academic conferences, the teacher educator conferences, people are starting to look at us. They're saying, what, 300 teachers in shortage areas? It's just shocking to them that this is happening here. So as more people learn about it, we know that people are watching. And I'm going to tell you, Western Michigan is going to deliver.
Nice. Good. Great to hear. It's Busted Pencils, fully led it. Education Talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Dr. Jillian Vasquez-Helic, Provost Laura Deinhardt, Dean, Western Michigan University, teacher shortage. Grow your own, a commitment there to say, hey, guess what? Where are our future teachers? Well, they're already right in front of us. They're working as bus drivers. They're working as paraprofessionals. They're seniors who are thinking, boy, I would love to come back here and become a teacher. They're people in the district who already have a degree in communications and are sitting there going, boy, I would love to change my careers and give back to my community to become a teacher. I didn't know I could do that. And it sounds like this is what the heart of this program is to try to make that commitment to say, you can do that. Laura, is it too simple when I put it that way?
No, I think it can be done. And I think the teacher shortage is really also, and you mentioned this, Tim, at the beginning, is sort of an exodus. And I think some of that is drawn from the, you know, idea that we can fill the bucket, but if there's holes at the bottom of the bucket, we're just pouring that out of the other end. And so this is a way to do it so that we make sure that we've got some sound buckets. Individuals really are prepared to go into the field. Teaching is not an easy job. I don't think anyone in this space is going to pretend like it is, but we want to make sure people are prepared to do it well.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Hey, you can join us too. Make sure you give us that call when we come back. We got some questions. And then when we come back to where are we going, Jillian, Laura, where are we going with Grow Your Own? Busted Pencils, back in a minute. Yeah. Oh, you know it's coming towards the end there. There's that music from Seven Dust. School's off for summer. Well, it's not out yet. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. The number 855-752-4842. Our guests, the provost and dean from Western Michigan University, Jillian Vasquez-Helic, Laura Deinhardt, talking about a commitment on an investment, a vision of saying there's an issue out here. There's a problem. We need teachers. There's a teacher shortage. What do we do to do this? There are ways. There are people who want to step up, who want to become teachers. They didn't have the access. They didn't have the funding. They didn't have the finances. And this program, Grow Your Own, here that's happening says, you know what? If you have the commitment, there is access because we have courses that are available online for you. If you're going to be working full time or in the evenings, you can't make during the regular day. You need funding. Sure. There's funding for tuition and scholarships and what you need money to support your family. Okay. Well, then you're going to be working for the school district, drawing a paycheck. Laura, think about this too. I want to touch on this though. You made a comment about the amount of support that, you know, Jillian in the provost's office was to say, to recognize, going, if we're going to do this, then these students are going to need a lot of support. Help us understand a little bit more too about that. You said something like, you know, that you've got a coordinator of the GYOs. Talk about how on top of the faculty who already are making that effort to say, oh my God, I got to switch everything up. I got to learn how to teach online for some people the first time. I've got to work with people who now have schedules that are saying, you know what, these are working adults. They're driving a bus and guess what? The bus just isn't going to be there on time that day. And so here it is. All of that support that goes into play, I want listeners to hear about the effort there too to support the students, because as Jillian said, we want them to finish. We don't want to just have a big pipeline enrollment. We want to see a big pipe. Well, we want to see that pipeline graduate and go out and fill those positions, Laura.
Yeah, I the amount of people it takes when students are having issues in classes, you know, I actually had a superintendent ask me this question, right? How do I need to prepare my high schoolers for college? You know, because they need to know how to write and they need to, you know, and I said, yes, we want them prepared for college. But the reality is we're in a new world at universities too. And I think it's important that people understand that we're here to help support and succeed, right? That we're not simply taking students and going sink or swim. Like in my day, mm-hmm. I felt like it was sink or swim. You know, you had those professors that would give exams and you'd fail and it'd be like, it's over, you know, and we don't do that anymore. We really are here for students and we have to be really student focused. That applies to all of our students at Western. You know, I think the provost regularly highlights to us how important it is that we are focused on student success, that we are, you know, we have systems in place now so that we have teams of people who are able to help a student. It's not just a faculty. We have advisors. We have, you know, deans, administrators, individuals, student success navigators who are really working to ensure student success. And that's really important. And we do that with our most regular students, right, who are here. Mm-hmm. But then when we have a unique population, we have to be more vigilant of it, and we all have to work together to ensure success.
Yeah. So I was in Grand Rapids for our admitted student event, and it was at the Meyer Garden, which is a greenhouse like the one I'm sitting in, much larger scale. And I made a couple of points to them. The first point I made to them was that Western this last year hit our highest graduation rate in 25 years. And then we are really invested in students finishing. We have a thrive mentality, whereas 30 years ago in higher education, it was a sink or swim mentality. We want these, and these are, like you said, non-traditional, not the best word, but we have bus drivers and paraprofessionals and other folks that are trying to balance a lot. They have families and budgets and all these other things. And so we know we have to go that extra mile. The provost's office is spending $7 million on student success this year. And with a large philanthropic gift, we doubled that to spend $14 million on student success. So not only are we going to bring those students to our campus, but we have the infrastructure to graduate those students. A university just up the road, their African-American retention dropped 20 points in 2 years, the last 2 years. And that's a challenge in a lot of universities. So we are very focused on student success and having the infrastructure to support these students that have a lot of things going on in their lives while they're simultaneously trying to become teachers is going to be key in making sure that they finish.
Yeah, I remember talking to, we had interviewed one of the candidates, and I want to put that invitation to Julian and Laura that any of your students, I'd love to get that bus driver particularly on, because to get them on the show to talk about their experience, to really allow the students that are becoming teachers through this Grow Your Own program, to let them talk to our listeners to explain the experience, how it works, how it is challenging, but yet how you guys are stepping up. You're thinking about this term, we're saying like, we don't like the non-traditional. I was wondering, if we start going, it's like, they're just a different modality population, right? They're just a different modality. They're, whatever non-traditional, traditional, because I've had that conversation too, where even I have a large population of 18 to 20 year old quote traditionals who are very much non-traditional from the standpoint of going, they're working 36 hours a week coming to, right. Yeah. I think the word too, is just to point that out there, is that so many students are putting in their families, so many efforts to go to school. And again, to come back on this program that says, well, making a commitment to becoming a teacher. And I think this part too, and we put this out, becoming a teacher in the public schools where we have this, Julian, we've talked about it, the constant, 35, 40 year barrage of an attack on our public schools. Yeah. It's people say, why do we have a teacher shortage? Well, we could go on and go, well, it's amazing we're even still here. But I want, the success of Western Michigan, of the state of Michigan, other states that are trying this. And so a listener out there who's saying, why aren't we doing this in our state? That's the other thing. It's going because the teacher shortage can be solved. The academic testing scores, we know what we can do with these things. I mean, talk to the people that are out there. That's what we've been trying to do with Busted Pencils every day now of the week is point out and go like, man, our public schools are the bedrocks of our democracy. They are the cornerstones of our community. This is where life happens. And you know what? We're going to invest in it because this is the commons. This is the space where we believe that we can be better together. And so focusing on this and say the invitation, Jillian, Laura, to come back again. Let's have some students that are going through this experience. Let's talk to them. Let's meet them. Because we want this to catch on, not just at Michigan, because, yeah, guess what? Public schools all over the country, that's what we're talking about. It's Busted Pencils. Dr. Jillian Vasquez-Helig, Dr. Laura Dinehart, thank you so much for Busting Pencils. See y'all tomorrow.